2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, then we'll jump down and we'll read verses 10 through 15. Okay? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort, in the houses and silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look, if you would, in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity of the message that you have to help us, Lord, in days such as this, to know how to respond in faith to them and to you. Lord, give us grace and wisdom and courage to shine brightly in the world that you have placed us in today. And Lord, if there's one here that's not sure that they have received you as Savior and Lord, I pray that today they would make that sure before they leave this place. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We could take several services just picking this passage apart. All the words, what they mean. But this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to look at the overview of this as it relates to what our response should be to it. Paul is warning Timothy of the things that will get worse in the world in general before they get better. When will they get better? They'll get better when Christ comes back. They will get better then on earth. They will be better for us when we stand before Him in heaven. We will be like Him someday. They will get better. But before they're better, they will in general get what? Get worse. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He is warning Timothy the world is not likely to change much for the better or be more welcoming to the gospel. Jesus said to His disciples, "Don't be surprised if the world hate you because it hated me before it hated you." In other words, most people aren't going to respond too positively to what you have to say. Because sinners don't like to be told they're sinners. They don't like to be, people don't like to be told they need the Savior's help. That isn't human nature. So don't expect a warm welcome from everybody. Through the centuries, there have been aberrations, exceptions to the rule, in certain places, at certain times. The founding of our country, in some regards, was an exception to the rule. The gospel was more prevalent. But that has changed. As it changed in Noah's day, Adam and Eve's children all knew there was a God. Some of them didn't accept Him. Some rejected Him, as in Cain. But they knew there was a God. But as time went along, generation after generation, the world moved further and further from God, rejected His authority over them. And so we see a world in Noah's day where every imagination of their thought was only what? Evil continually. We see that in our world today more and more. We read of a similar slide into perversion in Romans chapter 1. If you would like, you can hold your place in 2 Timothy and go with me to Romans 1, where I'll be reading several verses that give us a similar picture of humanity. Several times throughout history, God has intervened in a society, in a group of people, to make His presence more known, to bring revival. But again and again, we see even in those cases, over time, those societies spiraling downward away from God, back to man's natural, so to speak, state in sin. In Romans 1:21, Paul writes, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient," in other words, which make no sense. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them." The world in which we live today reflects many of the things in this list, does it not? This list and the one in 2 Timothy. Sin is taking its toll on society. Men's hearts have turned away from God. Turned away from His authority, from His word, from His love, from the truth. They've chosen instead to worship nature, creation, and themselves, humanism. So many who, and even so many who claim to worship God today, do not really know Him. They're just going through the motions. This has resulted in unimaginable moral decay. Embracing promiscuity as the norm, homosexuality and transgenderism as a moral good rather than evil. Adultery is commonplace, pornography is everywhere. Unbridled greed is applauded, and lying is a way of life.
Young people are encouraged to live for the moment, to do whatever feels good or gratifies the worst desires of the flesh, while being taught to hate anyone who tells them otherwise. This is the way of who? This is the way of Satan. Families are falling apart. Natural affection for parents is disappearing. Drug and alcohol abuse is a way of life for a growing portion of society. Violence in the streets is on the rise, and war abroad is knocking at the door. False teachers abound both in the classroom and in the pulpits. We could expound, but for the sake of the message this morning, we'll continue. In other words, in the end times, perilous times will come. Difficult times. Dangerous times. Persecution of those who stay the course with God will be inevitable. It doesn't maybe feel like it here in the United States, but in other parts of the world, it is already the case. Those days are definitely coming, and in many ways are already here. I don't say this to depress you. Paul did not write Timothy or the Romans to depress them, but to prepare them and to encourage them to respond correctly in the face of this rejection of God. So what should be our response? Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10 again. What should be our response? Actually, start in verse 14. Let's start in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. For in large part, that was Paul himself. And that from a child thou hast known what? The Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable, beneficial, for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead. The word quick means living. Who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, all patience, doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Paul goes through all these things in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All these terrible things that speak to the worst nature of humanity that he will face in his ministry, and progressively so as we get closer to the time of Christ's return. And then he says to Timothy in verse 14, but continue what? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. What is the proper response of the child of God? To continue in the things which we have learned from God's word. To shine brighter. The darker the world gets, the brighter Christians should what? Shine forth in it. Continue in the things which we have learned from the Scriptures, God's Word, which does not change. Preach it. Live it. Obey it. Endure hardship for it. And stick with it. That is to be our response. A few things that should not be our response this morning. Number one, it is not time to run and hide in fear. One is the natural response when danger comes your way, to run and hide in fear. The word perilous speaks of danger. Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. In your ministry, Timothy, you will face what? Perilous times. Paul knew of what he was speaking. He had faced perilous times over and over and over again. He reminded Timothy that through all of that, the Lord delivered him over and over and over again. So he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do not be driven by fear, Timothy, to run and hide. Be driven by the power of God and the love of Christ and the teaching and doctrine that God has changed your mind with. Do not be overcome by fear. It is not time to run and hide. That may be a temptation. But just because things are getting more difficult doesn't mean that God wants us to cloister ourselves away in a monastery somewhere, away from the world, to hide ourselves away. No, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You don't need to be afraid because you have who? You have Jesus. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. He didn't say it's going to be easy. But he says you don't have to be paralyzed by fear. You don't. Number two, and this kind of follows along, it's not time to fall silent. It's not time to hide in fear, and it's not time to fall silent in fear either. What does he tell Timothy? He tells him in verse 2 of chapter 4 to preach the word. In other words, here's what you do, Timothy, in the face of this persecution, in the face of this decay of society that you see. You proclaim what? You proclaim the Word of God. You proclaim it. You stand up for it. You don't fall silent. You open your mouth and you speak it. Preach the Word. That is the proper response. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not what? Heard. Already went over that verse in Sunday school. The world isn't going to change if we keep our mouth what? Shut. That's the problem in many ways. Is too many Christians have kept their mouth what? Shut. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What brings faith to the heart of people? The Word of God. How's it going to bring faith to them if nobody's willing to tell them? To share it with them. If we fall silent. The world has never more desperately needed the hope of the gospel than it needs it today. And rather than falling silent, we should be encouraged and motivated to open our mouth in love and tell them. Too many Christians today believe that keeping their mouth shut and not rocking the boat is more important than opening their mouth and giving forth the gospel. We've been fed the line, if you want to reach people for Christ, well, you just need to live it before them and keep your mouth shut. Really? Now, is living it before them important? Oh, yeah, it's vital. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If the words coming out your mouth don't match the actions of your life, then they're not going to listen to the words coming out your mouth. That's true. Someone said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's true. But somewhere along the line, you've got to open your mouth. You've got to open your mouth. And their response may be disheartening. Their response may cause you pain. But the only way they're going to know is if we tell them. Remember Jeremiah? Beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, God said, I'm going to send you with a message, and you need to tell them. They need to hear the message. But I want you to understand their response isn't going to be good. No, for the most part, they're going to hate you. And they're going to persecute you. And they're not going to listen to you. But it's vital. It's vital that they hear. Yes, it may require sacrifices and a lot more faith. But it is the right thing to do. And we know it. Not only to share the gospel, but to let others know what Christ is doing in our life. To let them know what we spend our Sundays doing. To let them know, when asked in particular, the difference between right and wrong. How are people going to know they're sinners if nobody's willing to tell them, you know, that's sin. God does not agree with that. That is not what He intended. If we neglect our duty in this regard, things will only get what? Worse. And that's what we've seen. Too many Christians have fallen silent. Back in the late 20th century, I remember hearing the term the silent majority. What's the problem with that phrase? The silent part. And you know now something? The silent majority is now the silent what? Minority. Because when we were the majority, we kept our mouth shut. And here we are. So what does Paul say to Timothy? Don't fall silent. Speak up. It is not time to compromise. Not time to compromise. What did he tell Timothy? Continue in the what? To continue in the word. Do not abandon it. Do not doubt it. Do not water it down to make it more what? Palatable. Don't tweak it. It does not need updating. Now, the principles of God's Word, we need to learn so that we can apply them to our life today. And we deal with different circumstances and issues today, in some respects, than the generation before and the generation before that. And so we have to learn to apply the Scripture properly. But the Scripture does not change. The principles do not change. The commands do not change. They do not need to be updated. We need to conform our lives to God's Word, not God's Word to our lives. I'm afraid again that that is an issue for large parts of Christianity today. Compromise. Well, I'll just keep. Paul said to Timothy, preach the whole counsel of Scripture. Well, I just won't mention these parts that might get me in trouble. I just gloss over these parts that somebody might not like. We can't do that. We need to speak the what? Truth. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. People need to hear the truth. Too many preachers and churchers become weary in the fight. That's true. And it's wearying in the fight. It's wearying when the world is constantly yelling at you. Just compromise a little. You know, just be tolerant. You're the bad guy here. It's wearying. It's wearying when even others around you that claim the name of Christ are saying, you're just too stuck in the mud. You just need to get with the program. You know, be flexible. Someone once said, we want to be as narrow as the Bible is narrow, and as broad as the Bible is broad. There are some areas in which we can be flexible in the application of principles. We don't all agree. But we must not compromise the clear principles and teachings of God's Word. Regardless of how many other Christians are telling us that we're relics and that we need to change. Some things change, but some things must never change. Compromise with the world, compromising the message of Scripture, is the wrong response. It has and it will result in further erosion of our society, further weakening of the gospel message. We must not give up on our convictions if they're grounded in the teaching and principles of God's Word. We must stand strong. Jude said it this way, contend for the faith. The purity of God's message is vital. If we lose it, then it will be lost. We must not lose it. We must contend to keep it pure. It is not time for anger and hatred. It is time for love, for mercy and forgiveness, to demonstrate the compassion of Christ while remaining true to the Savior. Being holy and speaking the truth is not contrary to love. No, it is a result of love. I stay true to the faith because I love who? My Savior. And I speak truth to the world around me because I love them and I don't want them to go flying off the cliff. Sin is the enemy of mankind. It is not the friend. And people need to hear the truth. But they do need to hear it in what? In love. And it is not time for hatred to come into our heart. It is not time for anger to control what comes out of our mouth, how we think or what we say. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith That's his prerogative. What does he tell us? Well, he says to us, turn the other what? Turn the other cheek. He says, overcome evil with what? Good. He says, pray for them which despitefully use you. He says, do good unto all men. Show the lost in sin that Jesus loves them. And so do you. They do not need our hatred and they do not need our anger. They need our love. They're lost. They need a Savior. Their problem is sin and Satan. The same problem that we have. It may reveal itself in different ways. They may be further down the road of decay, but it's where we all found ourselves, lost in sin and needing a Savior. And somebody out of love told us that our Savior out of love died for us that we might be saved. Don't forget who you were before you knew Christ. Don't forget what He's done for you. Don't forget where you would be without Him. And that God can change them. God can change them. He can save them and He can change them. You don't win friends by acting like an enemy. You win enemies by acting like a what? It is not the time for anger and hatred. It's a time for love. Show them that their souls matter and that it is their sin that is destroyed. They need to see compassion. That's what they got from Jesus. They got compassion. He was willing to put up with so much so that He could show them the truth. Remember Matthew or Levi, the tax collector? He said unto Matthew, follow me. And Matthew left his tax collecting. And he put his faith in Jesus. And Matthew had a celebration for Jesus. And Matthew invited his friends. Who were his friends? Well, his friends were the other outcasts of society. He didn't have any friends that were upstanding people, because they didn't hang out with tax collectors. It was the other outcasts, the drunks and the prostitutes. Those were the people that were Matthew's friends. And he invited them to meet his Savior. And Jesus didn't run out of there. And Jesus didn't meet them with words of anger, but with what? With words of love. It is sinners that need a Savior. It is the sick that need a doctor. And the sick were there. And Jesus had the remedy. We have the remedy. We need to share it with them. It is not time to give up, but to press forward. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. What does faint mean? It means to quit. It's not time to quit on the world. Give it. It's time for us to shine brighter. It's time for us to open our mouth. It's time for us to show the world the love of Christ. God's word will not return what? Will not return void. Romans 13, Paul writes this. That knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in riding and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now it's high time for us to get serious about this business of being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As we see the world spiraling down into the chaos of sin, there are souls still to be won. There is a Savior still to be glorified. It's not time to hide in fear. It's not time to fall silent. It's not time to compromise or to get angry or to give up. It's time to get busy. God is still in the soul winning business, but He needs His servants not to pack it in and go home. He needs His servants not to run away with their tails between their legs. He needs us to shine brighter, to be more committed than ever before, to put off the works of darkness, to lay aside the weights and sins which thus so easily beset us, and get serious. For the end of the race is just ahead. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank You, Lord, the encouragement of Your word this morning, to not allow the darkness to overwhelm us, to be weary in well-doing, but to grasp the opportunity that lays before us, the opportunity to be the light, to share the word, to show others the love of Christ, to show others that our God is real and that He has changed our life and will change theirs also. Lord, help us to stand strong. Give us courage. Lord, it isn't easy sometimes. And it's not likely to get easier, but harder. But we need not be afraid, for You're with us every step of the way. Use us, Lord, we pray. And Lord, if there's one here that's not trusted Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray they come as we give this hymn of invitation today. For us that do know Him, I pray, Lord, if You have touched our heart today for our need to be a brighter light, that we would respond in faith to You and take a moment to ask for Your help and Your forgiveness.